And don't you stand on fences. Now whatever you do, with all of your might, do right.
Oh, that was a good show.
Do
right. I'm going to go take a nap now. That was a great show. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. You know, that show was so good, I feel like just doing another one right off the bat. Did we just start with our closing music? Hey, that's just to figure out if the audience is awake or if we're awake, which after that late meal today, I may not be. Hey, a couple fun things. We have a debate coming up in 2 weeks at the historic Brown Palace, downtown Denver, with a well-known theologian, James White. I'll be debating him on a matter of just an amazingly significant theological question. I'll talk more about that in this program. You're invited. Please save the date, July 8th, Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. If you could come on out, you'll be my guest and James White's guest at the Brown Palace, downtown Denver. There will be no charge. I think you'll just have the greatest time. We're planning on it. Lord willing, we'll videotape the debate and just see where that goes. But I'll talk more about that in a moment. Also, had so much fun listening to this audio clip from the pastor of a large church down in Dallas, Pastor Robert Jeffress. He's on the radio all around the country. He's on the radio here in Denver. And he tells this funny story how he was listening to A&E, watching A&E, and do we have the audio but queued up to the popcorn story? Could you cue that up or no? That's a funny, he's watching A&E, and he sees that they have a special coming up that they're announcing, and it's on hate speech. And so he says he almost spilled his popcorn when he saw himself preaching in the A&E promo for the hate speech special. Do you have that? All right, we'll see where it starts, right? Just going to start it in the middle. All right, let's hear it.
Nestled in my favorite chair with a bowl of popcorn on my lap, and I was watching an old rerun of Columbo on the Arts and Entertainment Network. And I was just enjoying myself when, during the commercial break, the A&E Network ran a commercial for an upcoming special they were going to do on hate speech and violence against homosexuals. So I was watching that commercial, and I just about flipped over my bowl of popcorn when I saw myself on there preaching against homosexuality.
Okay, I got a kick out of that. We have been involved with the media locally and nationally for decades now, and that kind of thing is funny. So my producer went ahead and contacted the First Baptist Church of Dallas, and apparently we're going to get Dr. Jeffress on the show. Right? So that should be fun. We'll have to re-air that audio clip when he's on. And that'll be great. He's also in the middle of a series against Darwinism that we've evolved from animals. And it used to be when you did a series like that, it was directed at liberals, atheists, unbelievers, so on. Today, you have to direct it at Christianity Today, and you have to direct it at many Christian leaders, because as we did a program on the cover story of Christianity Today, they said they no longer believe, although they said we're Christian, of course, Christianity Today, and they said we believe the Bible's the Word of God, but we don't believe that God made Adam and Eve from the dust of the earth. We think that God took a couple thousand ape-like creatures. Now, you can't make this stuff up, right? You can't. I mean, I'm not making this up. It's Christianity Today cover story. We think God took a couple thousand apes, ape-like creatures, put a spirit in them, so that was the first human beings on earth back maybe a million years ago or so. And so imagine that you're one of the first people, and you're going home for what? For dinner? And like mom and dad are, well, it's just weird, no? Be weird. Mom and dad are apes. So anyway, it's a great tragedy that, and I have friends who have bought into, you know, people I went to Bible college with back in the 70s, and they bought into the old earth. And they thought, well, we believe everything the Bible says. We just think that the evolutionists are right and that the age of the earth is billions of years. Well, it turns out that they had no idea what they were buying into, because the old earth Christian community, for the most part, if you're old earth, not everyone, but for the most part, the vast majority of the leaders, the Hugh Rosses of the world, the, you know, Focus on the Family, any ministry that buys into an old earth, what they then reject also is a global flood. They reject the global flood. Imagine that. I mean, Jesus affirmed the flood of Noah's day. He affirmed, the New Testament affirms that there were eight people saved on the ark. Eight people. But if you buy into, you go to seminary or Christian college, and the vast majority of them are liberal, and they make fun of, many of them make fun of all the thousands of scientists who are Christians and who show the evidence that the Bible, you could take it literally because there's overwhelming evidence that the earth is young, less than 10,000 years old, not billions of years old. Same thing with the solar system and the universe, for that matter, and the galaxies, the spiral galaxies and all. So when friends I know who then bought into the earth being billions of years old, they didn't realize everything that they were buying into. So it turns out that they also, when they say the earth is billions of years old, they also reject the global flood. I mean, I'm as a general rule, like Hugh Ross, Reasons to Believe, and the progressive creationists and all. What else do they reject? They reject the Tower of Babel. They reject so many specific teachings of Genesis, like that the earth was divided in the days of Peleg. To them, that has no meaning. They reject the six literal days of creation, and they say, well, we think they were long periods of time. But then we follow up. We say, well, do you believe that the things described in those days really happen? Well, sure, they really happen. Do you think they happen in the order that it says in Genesis, in that order? If you think each day was, say, millions of years, do you think the things that Genesis happened on day three really happened on day three, and day four happened on day four, and day five, those things, do you think that order? Well, no, we don't agree with the order. Of course not. You cannot have plants over the surface of the earth without the sun being created, obviously. So obviously the sun came before the earth. So the sun was not made on day four, as the Bible says, but the sun came first on day one. And then millions, or, you know, hundreds of millions of years, maybe tens of millions of years after the sun is really forming, then the planets are forming. Sort of at the same time, but the sun gets going first. And then the order's not right. They say the Bible's order of the plants and then the sun and then the land animals and the sea filled with sea life, marine life, and birds. They say, well, the order's not quite right. Oh, so you don't believe that they were 6 days, as the Bible says, 6 days, evening and morning were the first day, second day, third day, and you don't believe they were in the same order as in the Bible, and you don't believe, and then increasingly, like with the BioLogos, you know, quasi-Christian or Christian old earth creation group, you don't believe that Adam and Eve were two human beings that God made from the dust of the earth. No, we don't believe that. We think they were, you know, maybe a couple thousand. Why a couple thousand? Why not like seven? Or why not 10,000? Why two? They say, you know, between 200 and 2,000. Okay. So you think about 2,000 apes were made human. So how about the genealogy of Abraham? How about the genealogy of Abraham that goes back to, it goes through Noah and to Adam? Well, we don't think that that's really literal. Yeah, but that genealogy is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, establishing him as the Son of Man. God the Son is eternal, but through the incarnation, he became flesh, he became man, and he became the Son of Man. He wasn't eternally the Son of Man. God doesn't need man to be God. I mean, I know most theologians think that he does, because they think God is outside of time, and he was always the Son of Man, and he was even always incarnate. A lot of them think that. It's just crazy. But anyway, it's unbiblical. But anyway, so you guys don't believe that there was an Adam and Eve. So then how about the fall in the garden? How about that? Christianity Today and BioLogos and all the old earth Christian create all, for the most part, every professor at our Christian universities, every professor of theology and Old Testament history, for the most part, they're all old earth. The few that you'll find who are young earth are more likely to be in the science department, because Christians who actually study science find out by the hundreds of thousands of them that there's overwhelming scientific evidence that the earth is young. So it turns out that here, when Christianity Today said, well, we believe everything else, we just don't think there was a literal Adam and Eve, right? Everything else that they then deny, here's, and if you go to our website, kgov.com/Christianity Today, you'll see this list. They reject the biblical teaching of no death before Adam. They reject that. So any creature that had a soul, nephesh, the Hebrew word for soul, any creature that had a soul would not have died before Adam sinned. But they reject the biblical teaching that there was no death before Adam. They reject the 6 literal days of creation. You know, in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, God says that in 6 days, I made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. So there goes the gap theory, right? Because the gap theory says God made the heavens and the earth, and then there was a billion years or whatever, doesn't matter. And then God made Adam and Eve and all the rest of it, and the garden and all. But God says, in 6 days, I made the heavens, the earth, the seas, and everything in them. So God's saying, I did it all, the entire creation, the whole cosmos, in 6 days. So they reject the 6 literal days of creation. Those who say that the earth is billions of years old, they reject the New Testament teaching that Jesus Christ gave explicitly, saying that God made us male and female at the beginning of the creation, at the beginning, not after billions of years, which, according to the atheist, mankind didn't come on the scene until the last second of the clock of history. You know, it's about to strike 12 all the time from the beginning of the earth till now. And they say mankind didn't come on until the last few seconds. And from the beginning of the universe, from the heavens and the earth, from the beginning of the universe to now, they say mankind didn't arrive on the scene until like the last second. So at the end of creation, the whole cosmos being called the creation. So, but Jesus said Adam and Eve were, he said that God made us at the beginning of creation. So they also reject where the Bible explicitly says that there were no thorns before the fall. They reject that. In fact, you could buy a fossil of a thorn, and they'll tell you it's millions of years old. So either the Bible's right, God's word is right, or these atheists and these old earth Christians are right. Which is it? That there were no thorns before the rebellion. Because when God made the earth was a paradise, and it just gave up its sustenance to Adam and Eve. It just provided for them. But once man sinned, then he needs to work so that Adam and Eve would need one another. You know, if you don't need one another and you have a problem, you tend to split, and give up on each other. But because you need one another, that's like the glue that holds you together. That's why people who win the lottery, so many of them have divorced. It's like, hey, now they can have everything they want, right? What's the first, what do you want to do? I want a divorce. And sadly, so many divorce. So many people, musicians become a rock star and they divorce. An actress becomes a Hollywood superstar and she divorces because you have so much money, you don't need one another. So God knew that. So he said, my paradise for you, if you rebel against me, then it will produce thorns and thistles and you're going to have to work. And by the sweat of your brow, you will survive. And so you'll need your wife. If you want to raise your kids, you're going to need your wife. She's your help. You're going to need one another and she'll need you. And so maybe then, regardless of how stupid and selfish you are, you might get through it. You just might, because you need one another. And hopefully that'll bring you to where you really love one another. Hopefully. No guarantees. God is the God who risks. So they reject all these things. They say, oh, well, we believe everything in the Bible. We just think the earth is billions of years old. Well, guess what? They reject the global flood. Pretty much the entire old earth creation, progressive creation movement, they all reject the global flood. So in Focus on the Family, James Dobson, they buy into the earth being billions of years old. You think they're going to draw a lesson for the parents and their audience from the stories in the Old and New Testament about the account of the global flood? Of course not. They're embarrassed of that. That's an embarrassing story in the Bible. Instead, it's a way to evangelize and bring millions to the Lord by the warning of God's judgment in a world filled with evidence of the global flood, like seashells on the tops of all the major mountain ranges, in a mile deep of flood sediments on all the continents. So they reject the global flood. They reject the Tower of Babel. They reject that there would have been painless childbirth before the fall. They reject that, by the way. I mean, there's so many details in the Bible that when they say, well, we still believe it all, we just think the earth is billions of years old. It turns out that you're buying into so much rejection of God's word, it's startling. They reject that God made man from the dust of the ground. Did I say that already? That God made man from the dust. They think God made man from apes. And that God put a spirit in them. And that it's just so, there is no scientific evidence to support the worldview belief in Darwinian evolution. Neo-Darwinism. I mean, Neo-Darwinism is in utter crisis. Thousands of scientists have rejected Neo-Darwinism. Atheists, people who despise the Bible are rejecting Neo-Darwinism in increasing numbers, and they're writing about it in scientific peer-reviewed journals, that Neo-Darwinism no longer explains the diversity of life on Earth. So if you're an old Earth creationist, an old earth Christian, because, you know, you were told that by your professor at a Christian school. And, you know, if you say the earth is less than 10,000 years old, they'll mock you, right? They will mock you. And so, you know, as the Bible's Jesus said, as they've never mocked me, they shall never mock you. Remember that? Where does it say that? Luke 17. They've never mocked me. They shall never mock you. It doesn't say that, does it? So they reject the order of the days of creation. So they say stars were created before day four. Birds were created after land animals of day six and so on. They claim that Adam was an incorporation of thousands of individuals. And that undermines the New Testament genealogy of Jesus Christ. It undermines the account of the fall in the Garden of Eden, which then also messes with Satan's rebellion, because when you read in Ezekiel and Isaiah about the fall of Satan, it says that he was in Eden, the garden of God. And he said, I will ascend above the clouds. You know, he wanted to teleport up into heaven and take over. He was on earth. The Bible says that, speaking of Lucifer, it says that he was in Eden, the garden of God. And he said, I will ascend above the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. So it messes with that also. So not only is the fall of mankind and Adam's sin and Eve's sin and the temptation at the tree in the garden, not only is all that overthrown, but even the fall of Lucifer is undermined. And, you know, they also then tend to reject the fall of Jericho. They tend to reject those who say the earth, the theologians and the Christian professors who reject the age of the earth as reported in the Bible. They also tend to reject the fall of Jericho, the historicity of Joshua's battles, the ancestry of Abraham. They reject the book of Jonah and so many other events that the Bible presents not as parables or symbols, but as actual history, they will reject. And so the New Testament refers to Adam, what? Repeatedly in the book of Luke, in the Lord's genealogy, in the greatest theological treatise ever made, in the book of Romans, when Paul says that all the human race sinned in Adam. In Adam. So what? You have 2,000 first humans. I guess 1,000 guys and 1,000 women, right? So how does that work then? Did they all sin? They take turns? Was there a war between the righteous humans and the initially fallen humans? We read about Adam in 1 Corinthians and in Timothy and in Jude. And we read about Eve. Paul wrote about Eve to the Corinthians and to Timothy. And the New Testament teaches us that we all inherited sin through the rebellion of the first man. Twice it records Jesus remembering that he created Adam and Eve at the beginning of the creation when God made them male and female. You know, if God didn't make them male and female, and if he made us after animals, well, animals eat their own young, some of them. And they're pretty violent toward one another. Sometimes they eat other animals while they're still alive. That's sort of normal. They start eating them while the animal's still alive. Some animals engage in homosexual behavior because they're animals. That's the whole point. They're animals. They eat their young. So homosexuals thinking they've hit upon a brilliant justification for their behavior. They say, well, you know, animals do it. Yeah, and what's your point? What's the point of that? If you're saying that we homosexuals are like pigs and dogs, I have a hard time disputing that. I mean, that might be the one thing I might have to agree with you on, that you're like pigs and dogs. But how exactly is that a defense of your behavior? But you see, if Christian leaders, progressive creationists, biologos, if they say that Christianity today on their cover story, they say Adam and Eve were not made from the dust of the earth. There were no two Adam people, Adam and Eve. That's just a metaphor for what? Well, for thousands of apes that God put a soul into. Well, then everything is now in doubt. Everything. I mean, even that God made us male and female. Maybe we really are just animals. And so we kill our young. So what? Animals do that. You know, the New Testament also refers to the flood, speaking specifically when God was waiting in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which 8 souls were saved through water. Remember that? Peter wrote that. It's funny that Peter, the Roman Catholic Church, says Peter was the first pope. He was married, right? Remember Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law? You'd think if the first pope would be married, the follow-on popes could be married too, you'd think. And Paul said that Peter was married. He said, Peter and the other apostles travel with their wives, and I'm stuck with Barnabas. But Peter taught that there was a global flood. That's why God told Noah to build an ark in which only eight souls were saved, eight human beings, and two of each, you know, kind of animals and so on. And so the Roman Catholic Church has bought in with the Protestant mainline denominations and focus on the family and other groups that have gone anywhere on the spectrum of being embarrassed by the biblical teaching of a global flood so that it would never be mentioned, or denying it outright. But Peter, I mean, if the first pope could acknowledge that in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, God had been long-suffering, but then eight souls were saved through the flood, you'd think the current pope could acknowledge the same thing if the first pope did. But, the first pope, being married, probably had a wife who hit him upside the head and said, you know, that's true. That story in the Bible is true. So you better watch out or else. Anyway, that was in 1 Peter. In 2 Peter, to outdo himself, Peter went on to say, hey, remember, God did not spare the ancient world, but he saved Noah, one of eight people bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. And he warned that, you know, scoffers will claim that all things continue as they were from the beginning. Sounds like Charles Darwin and Charles Lyell's uniformitarianism, does it? And the progressive creationist that bought into even Darwinism. And scoffers will say that all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willfully forget, the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. It's great. The epistle to the Hebrews reminds us that Noah, being divinely warned of these things, not yet seen, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household. And Jesus described the world before the flood. And then Noah entered the ark and the flood came and took them all away. Hey, this is all real, you know? Christianity today, I don't know if that's real, but God is real.